This is Mae Brussel, the second half of World Watchers, program number 786. Regarding the convention that Reverend Moon had, 43 nations were involved, 245 scientists, November 27th and 30th in Washington, D.C., where they say all the Africans must change their religions and their mentality completely. One of the main science speakers there had a theme called Unifying Principles in Science, and it's run by Eugene Wigner of Princeton University, and his subject was entropy. Now, Eugene Wigner is on the board of Western Goals. He works for a far-right group, the Pew Group, that are involved in literally the intention of take over America for fascists prior to World War II. Eugene Wigner is a member of Western Goals with Edward Teller and Admiral Moore and John Singlaub, the man distributing the Contra money. He's on the board of Western Goals. I've mentioned it before, and in conjunction with the highest members of the Defense Department and the allegations that Colonel North and his family are closely related to Western Goals and that some of the Iranian money goes to Western Goals. This refers to unlimited money that Reverend Moon has for these conferences, unlimited funds mysteriously at the disposal of the Unification Church. So some of those Swiss banks that allegedly have up to $2 billion and not $35 million can go to this kind of a gathering where Eugene Wigner from Western Goals attends the meeting. And among other things, there the speaker was Dr. Robert Jastrow, J-A-S-T-R-O-W, founder and past director of Goddard Institute for Space Studies at NASA, former chairman of NASA's Lunar Exploration Committee. Getting back to this Wigner, they describe him as working at Princeton University, as I say, and then the article continues, members of the panel were physicists from the University of Vienna and the Autonomous University of Mexico City, plus a Mooney plant from Tokyo who spoke on entropy as a unifying concept. Now, I'll do more in a few weeks. I just want to bring up the subject, but that Autonomous University in Mexico is described in the new book on the League. There's a new book on the World Anti-Communist League, and it is the hub and nexus of the Nazi Party in the western part of Europe, outside of Europe, in Argentina and in Mexico. And the Autonomous University is very important to the World Anti-Communist League and to the Nazi connections to this group. And here with Reverend Moon and the scientist is Eugene Wigner and members from Vienna and from the Autonomous University in Mexico City that are, and these people have in common, the Western Goals and Singlaub and the Contra operations, and also affecting coups all over the world. And the intention of this meeting was how to change the minds and the religions of Africa so they're all one. Now, it also mentions, as a comment in the article, that AIDS is one way to get rid of the population in Africa. So to update that, there was an article December the 4th. This comes out of Cox News Service in Atlanta, also reprinted in the Press Telegram from Hawaii. Soviets blaming AIDS on U.S. biological warfare snafu. That isn't new. It's been coming out since August. These stories that AIDS was started in the United States Defense Department, but this article coming from Europe says this lethal disease, which could infect 100 million by 1990, was created by the Pentagon scientists at a secret army laboratory in Fort Detrick, Maryland. And, of course, I've mentioned Fort Detrick and keep wanting to update the role of Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon when they gave the laboratory to Litton Industries. It was Henry Kissinger who pulled back and made the arrangements for the laboratories to be at Fort Detrick, Maryland, and this is where they were to create a disease that would not respond to treatment that would affect the immune system. And also, the agreement that I've cited before ties into this of advanced genetic scientists and ICE Minus and experimenting with genetic, live genetic altered bacteria on the food we eat, that it could affect people with a weak immune system. There's an article in the New York Times, December 18th, a new AIDS virus is cloned. Scientists at Pasteur Institute in France yesterday said they cloned a newly discovered virus that could cause AIDS in humans and determined it was quite different from the main AIDS virus and similar to a third virus that causes the disease in monkeys. I have about 100 good articles on AIDS. I just want you to get the overview. Mr. Mordecai Vanunu was testifying in Israel. You might have seen that. He's hidden behind a van in a car. The windows are painted white. The curtain ensures that nobody can see him in the windshield. That was a news comment today that came out over the news, and the London Times had a story 2 weeks ago, Vanunu trial, ring of steel around Mr. X. And I still maintain that the articles from the London Times that were quoted, a few of them in this newspaper, but more to update in London, referred to his saying that Israel had capacity or had the neutron bomb, and the anger that they have towards him has to do not with releasing information on the atomic bomb. There are no secrets to say that South Africa is making an atomic bomb, or Pakistan or Argentina. It has to do with a neutron bomb that goes back to John Singlam and Shimon Peres from Israel, and the president of Cameroon, a close associate to the Vatican, Singlam, Alexander Haig, the Knight of Malta, William Casey, a Knight of Malta. Vanunu trial is still top secret. Lawsuits were filed against NASA, against Morton Thiokol, for the Challenger that went down in January, just 12 months ago. And some of the families have settled out of court. Washington Times had a story, Challenge Disaster's first legal claim being negotiated. There are also about 40 or 50 articles to update with you. One, the United States orders a probe of NASA's chief of conflict interest. The head of NASA, James Fletcher, violated conflict of interest rules when he awarded the contract for the shuttle rockets, because he comes from Utah, and Morton Thiokol is located there, and he violated rules when he went ahead with the contract because of his close relationship to these particular people. Executive Intelligence Review has an article on the removing of James Baggs, the head of NASA, just before the shuttle went down, and placing William Graham in charge of the shuttle program. He wasn't even viewing the launch the day of the fatal launch in January of 1986, but Graham was promoted after the launch was such a failure, and he had a role in that particular failure. He was rewarded as the head of the Science Commission in Washington, D.C., for the president, working with Mr. Beauregard from Advanced Genetic Sciences. Another article, new questions raised about the Challenger disaster. Engineer says the O-rings might not have been the only cause, and I think you've seen many of these in the past week. They've been carrying them over the wire service. There's one in a magazine called New Scientist that was mailed to me from a listener. Thank you for that. Written by Pat Jones, and the article begins, "The beginning of the end for NASA? Question mark. With civilian space program being cut back, morale at NASA has hit all-time low." And this is about transferring the space program to the Star Wars, to the SDI, and easing out the civilian group. And within 1 week of the program failure in Florida last winter, I was detailing those facts. People's World has a story, Star Wars Behind Shuttle Disaster Cover-Up. And it has to, at length, it goes into particular people and characters who want to turn the space program into a vehicle for Star Wars and push the civilians out. Another one from the New York Times, NASA knew about the O-rings in 1984. By having a visible disaster in front of us, there's an excuse to create a new agency, throw out some of the old people, and then promote others, and that is taking place all the time. We'll have to do one broadcast in 1987 of the promotion of jobs of people involved in the failure of the program in the first place. There was one in the Houston Post, a good friend mailed to me December 13th. Challenger launch chief gets safety post. It's the move of key appointments is taking place as a result of restructuring the shuttle program since the January 28th shuttle disaster. Former launch director James Gene Thomas was promoted to head a new office that will provide an independent assessment of launch readiness and a strong reliability and quality analysis capability. He's just the latest, as of December the 13th, who has been promoted because of the job they did. Now, with all the controversy of the National Security Council, they've hired David Abshur from NATO. He retired from NATO, and Buchanan, the press communications officer from Patrick Buchanan from the loudmouth from the far, far right, wanted to take Abshur's job, but because of the articles he wrote and placed in his position in defending the indefensible, and breaking the law and calling it righteous, he has less chance of getting Abshur's job. And I'll be doing a lot of Mr. Frank Carlucci and Abshur. We go from bad to worse, if it's possible, and the far right is getting even tighter by pulling Reagan and Bush down. They're replacing the existing team with even worse. Just in essence, Mr. Abshur earned a doctorate in history at Georgetown in 1959. He was a founder of the conservative Washington think tank called the Center for Strategic and International Studies, and he was Reagan's advisor during the transition team when Reagan was inaugurated. The Center for Strategic and International Studies was also founded along with Mr. Abshur by Richard Allen. Allen was stationed in Germany, brought home money from Germany, was in Georgia for a short time teaching, like 1 year, went to Washington and worked with Abshur and set up that Center for Strategic and International Studies, the CSIS, in Georgetown. They just separated from the university about a month ago, but it's known as that. This is the hotbed for Robert Moss and Arnaud de Borchgrave, who works for Reverend Moon, and for Henry Kissinger and Michael Ledeen, a protege of Kissinger and Kramer and Haig. And this is the hotbed of Gene Kirkpatrick and the whole far right that advised the president, the National Security Council. You see them on the television all the time when there's a crisis. And they are the think tank, not out of the regular universities, out of Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Stanford, or goodness knows what, Berkeley or UCLA. They always bring into the national security and CIA these people and into the news media, like de Borchgrave editing the Washington Times for Reverend Moon, who wants to do away with the religions and the customs of all Africa and make them all one and one God, and has conferences on scientific problems of how to erase the African population. The center for all of the thinking is done by private groups like Rajan Singh Laub's group, 30 organizations, and they all come and wash through the Center for Strategic and International Studies. So Mr. Abshur runs that operation. He also broke rank because most admirals or generals or army people are not supposed to favor politicians during an election. But he joined 22 ambassadors and endorsed Senator Jesse Helms for re-election. And Helms, of course, is the closest buddy of the World Anti-Communist League, of John Singlau, of Roberto Dobison and the death squads in El Salvador, with the Argentine military junta, with Mr. Pinochet in Chile. He is the godfather and daddy and connecting link to every kind of a right-wing organization, and works with Singlau and all of the Contragate operations. And what I'm sharing with you now is not the particular details of Iran money or operations or Contra, but how the people who work with them are siphoning into our institutions at this time. People's World had a long article this week, and there have been some really good ones, by Tom Foley, The CIA, the History of Arms and Drugs, Drug Deals. And this started as early as the 40s, and particularly in 1960, set up by people like John Singlaub and Richard Secord, Theodore Shackley, the World Anti-Communist League, the Chinese from Taiwan, that went to Taiwan from the mainland of China. And this is a long article, and some of these things have been in books, of course, but it's very important to see how persons like William Cooper, a pilot that ran the plane that was shot down in Nicaragua, worked with these teams and CIA airlines, going back to Laos and opium connections. There was an article by Michael Kingsley in the New Republic. He was also been on television a lot, low comedy in high places. And the gist of it is that why can't you laugh at Reagan? What's wrong with laughing at him? The administration is wide open for laughter, and why should we feel guilty? Why shouldn't we have a good time? He says the simple honesty requires any Washington time type to admit we live for this kind of episode. The adrenaline is flowing like Perrier. Everyone, Reagan's supporters, no less than his opponents, are wandering around in a happy buzz induced by those oft-denounced but rarely eschewed twin intoxications, gossip and speculation. He says disarray is the essence of farce, and it is funny to see the National Security Council acting like Three Stooges. The Iran episode has not lacked for pies in the faces, missing pants, stubbed toes, confused identities, mistaken embraces, role reversals, strange noises, and other classic elements of lowbrow comedy. It's only human to laugh, and he says it's a healthy instinct to understand Ronald Reagan No one was acting mightier, especially in the 1984 election, than the Reagan administration. Children find Humpty Dumpty amusing, not tragic. And he says, after the liberals were beat down for 6 years of Reaganism, why can't we sing a happy tune? And it's a wonderful article on we don't have to feel guilty to enjoy Contragate. And also you heard that the airwaves have canceled a salute to Ronald Reagan, sponsored by persons who don't want to put their money up in the lieu of all this, that don't appreciate him arming Iran while they're behind killing over 200 Americans in Lebanon, or arming Iran while they know Mr. William Buckley of the CIA is having his arms and legs torn off. Even those people don't want to pay money to honor him. So maybe some good people will come up with the money, some mafia bucks, but they want to cancel on his 76th birthday a show for him, and he will probably have a prostate cancer by then. I would predict things won't go too well. Reagan's finest hour in the past 6 years, according to the brilliant strategist, the greatest mind around him, Edwin Meese, you know, was Grenada. The story of Grenada will unfold for years to come. You've read that 14 have been convicted of murdering Maurice Bishop and others, and they're going to hang 14. We have seen a lot of political assassinations and a lot of loners. We take over this island, we democratize it, we say Maurice Bishop is bad. We have not seen 14 hangings in a country owned and run by the American government. This is horrendous. It is just terrible. There's an article about Grenada keeping out doctors that were trained in Cuba. This was published just this past week in the Militant, December 19th. Coming from European Press, it says all news coming out of the Caribbean island has the same tone, degrading living conditions, indifference to people's needs. 10 people from Grenada graduated from medical school in Cuba. They arrived in their country, and they were told by the United States government, you can't practice medicine here. They masked an arbitrary, discriminatory basis for their practicing medicine by saying you'll have to take special tests, and they're bringing in doctors for very, very few people. If they come from India and from Pakistan, they're probably Sikhs from India that are funded by Pakistan, and the Grenadian people who went to medical school can't be used for public health services, and they can't come back to the island. They don't have more doctors or more health, but it's a terrible condition. And also, there was an article December 19th, no justice in Grenada, and it has to do with the trial, the monkey trial that went on there. And I'll share a lot of that with you. In these Times had a long article about Grenada, and many articles, 14 people will be hung. And this is because we let Admiral Poindexter and Ollie North and John Sigelob and Robert Brown from Soldier of Fortune, Sigelob's group, and Michael Ledeen on the island, the same team going back to the Bay of Pigs, to the murder of Kennedy, to Southeast Asian wars, to drug dealing, the Nguyen Bank, the taking over the Contras, the death squads in South America. This is what we did in Grenada, and as I say, there's no justice, and this was Reagan's finest hour, put in by Poindexter, North, and the people I mentioned earlier. There's also a good article that came out this month titled Michelle is Finished, and this is about the meeting of the World Anti-Communist League last year, where a group got together and decided that they had to get rid of Michelle in Mozambique and how they killed him. And among the group working with the World Anti-Communist League and Reverend Moon's organization Cause, they have a national meeting and decide, well, now we've got to get rid of Michelle. They also mentioned Ghana, and I'll update what's happening in Ghana and our plans to overthrow that with the CIA. But the plans were very clear about what to do with Mozambique. And within the same year of the meeting of the World Anti-Communist League, and John Sigelob is the president of it, and that's why I read a few characters on the organization of his group, like Dobriansky and Pisarne, and their links to Kissinger and to the Kennedy assassination, Robert Morris, with General Walker and the Nazi troops that came from Germany. These group of people met last year and decided we'll get rid of the head of Mozambique, and they did it, and that country then could be left in disarray. Another story that I haven't been able to get into, much less to finish or develop, was the American mercenaries that were sent by way of Argentina with weapons, and the ship broke down and outside of Brazil, and they were arrested. And a team of mercenaries, American mercenaries, were arrested. And the San Francisco Chronicle just had a story today. San Francisco mercenary links the CIA to Ghana plot. That's the next country that we have in mind to overthrow. And it tells about the former president, the Ghana dissident Godfrey Osei, O-S-E-I, who went to the CIA and 2 years later said, okay, the wheels are rolling. And how some of his persons have been arrested separately. One was arrested in a San Diego trial. He was mentioned smuggling marijuana into the United States. And at his particular trial, his name is Mr. Early. He works with the CIA. The CIA courts came in and stopped, according to the San Diego Union, bringing up the role of the CIA into the marijuana traffic into the United States. They left the CIA out of it. That was in 1981. Then they released these people to go on and do more jobs, overthrow countries, and make their profits off of the drug traffic at the same time. Now, one of the characters involved in this is Mr. Carmody. He lives up in the Bay Area. Said that a Mr. Early recruited him, and he described the shadowy figures and the kind of names they used, and he had been involved in Laos. These are, again, the opium drug connections that come into the United States in the 1960s, and that's Theodore Shackley and General Secord and Thomas Kleins and Edwin Wilson and Frank Turbell, the Bay of Pigs people who began recognizing how much opium there was in Laos, came into the United States to try to take over Cuba, didn't do that, killed John Kennedy, and then went back to Southeast Asia. He also describes a Mr. Solomon, an agent for the Israeli intelligence, who worked with his team to try and overthrow Ghana. And again, the Mossad is always involved with overthrowing these countries and working hand in glove, what I call the Nazification of Israel that began even before Israel became a country, with Mr. Begin and Otto von Mollschwing and our intelligence community, and then James Engels and the Knight of Malta being in charge of Israeli intelligence for so many years as it developed into a 51st state of the United States. Actually, the Israeli office for the Mossad office for overthrowing Ghana is in New York City. They called it, the office is called the Bop Hutzatzwana International. That must be Yiddish for Israeli opium. It doesn't sound like a Mossad office, but this gentleman is an Israeli intelligence working with them. And the current article says that Jack Anderson cited an office run by Mr. Solomon. Their man to call was a Mr. Solomon, and that he had contacted Solomon Schwartz. He's written about him, and there was an office called B International that could be the Bop Hutzatzwana, B-O-P-H-U-T, Bop Hut, that, T-H-A-T-S, Wana, W-A-N-A, International. And also that office of Mr. Schwartz and B International were sending weapons to Poland, automatic weapons, hoping to get an insurrection or a revolution in Poland, and were active at this current time trying to overthrow Ghana. The important thing about this story is that the four American mercenaries were locked up in Brazil in the very time that Casey gets a brain tumor and the money connections of the Iranian money to the Swiss banks breaks apart, and they're beginning to look for where the money went. I understood that a hunk of it went to these particular mercenaries, and all of a sudden, a gentleman, Timothy Carmody, says, oh, my wife sent me a little saw. You know, I filed my way out of the jail. I wanted a cake or sweet roll, and I got out of Brazil. A fourth man escaped. He's safe, but he's not in the United States, and some are still there. But just coincidentally, he said he was working for the CIA or the National Security Council. And as this story breaks, they must have paid a lot of money, and we have a lot of influence with Mr. Sarney in Brazil, the president who took over when Neves, the elected president, was murdered. Sarney has just been reelected, and down there, Kissinger Associates represents the government and the banks of Brazil, along with Vernon Walters. And the door opened, and all of a sudden they were told, go home. And he says, I work for the CIA NSC, and now they want to make a movie on their story from 20th Century Fox. Mr. Murdoch bought it from Marvin Davis, and they'll have a story of these mercenaries, but I know that the story won't link to the Iranian money, so I just want to tell you that there are direct connections to the Iran-Contra Gate team that are very, very important. There was a good article that I might have just briefly touched on the other day, and I'll go into it much longer. It takes a whole hour, actually. It's called The Arms Dealer Next Door by Dan Pulcrano. It was published in San Jose Metro December the 11th. And in this article, David Emery helped him with it. He talks about the formation of Mr. Secord, General Secord, with Hakim, forming a California set of institutions, one called Stanford Technology Trading Group, and then this becomes TCI, TCI becomes Stanford Technology. It goes from Stanford Technology Trading Group to TCI, and then it becomes International Imaging Systems, the IIS, and then goes into Trans International Computer Investment, which is the TCI. The corporation began Stanford Technology Trading Group, International Imaging System, and then Stanford Technology Corporation from Trans International Computer Investment. And in this article, he mentions its former parent, TCI, that became the parent of the Stanford Technology that Albert Hakim and General Secord run, along with Edwin Wilson and Frank Chirpel in that group. He says, began with President Otto Albrecht, Alfred von Bolschwing. That's the fellow I smoked out with Pete Carey. This was in 1981, November 20th, 1981, 5 years ago, we had this story. And it talks about TCI and Helene von Damme and the relationship of the early Waffen-SS of von Bolschwing. This article is quite long, and I'll detail it for you more about the article, what he included, because we don't get an update of these stories very often. And the story that Pete Carey wrote in November 81, as I say, 5 years ago, we now see Albert Hakim and General Secord, Richard Secord, as being very instrumental in the whole Iranian story, and with the Contragate and those people, these teams of spies that drew narcotics traffic, assassinations, coups, and overthrow countries. This is an update of something that was published in 1981. Now, along those lines, Helene von Damme, who's mentioned in the article in the San Jose Metro, she had a long coverage in the Washington Post and San Francisco Chronicle. Book by Reagan's former secretary is causing a stir. And she gets into the controversial question. They ask her, how did I get where I did? The fact that she was with the President of the United States and was advising the President on jobs and appointments. And at most the question was raised, how did I get there? Most likely because at some time I was Reagan's mistress, which would also explain why Nancy didn't like me. She says this isn't true, that it was just brought up because people introduced the subject of how did I get there. Well, how she got there was that William Clark of Military Intelligence, who was Ronald Reagan's, one of his closest friends in California, he made him a justice on the Supreme Court. Clark was from Military Intelligence and was in Vienna and arranged for Helene von Damme to come to the United States. She was handpicked and came through the American Medical Association into Detroit, then to Chicago, and then to Sacramento, where she linked up with Waffen-SS Otto von Bolschwing and became the appointment secretary for Reagan for 8 years, and then first administration of Reagan, and then enough to get appointments settled for the second administration. Then she went on to be ambassador in Vienna. She has a book coming out, and of course she asked the question that people want to know, how did I get where I did? But that's the teaser or the payoff for millions of dollars if she wants them, and a lot of that payoff comes through book money, and she's teasing you on the subject. The Executive Intelligence Review has a long article on Contragate, Irangate, and I just want to share one sentence with you because time is running out. It talks about Henry Kissinger's role with William Colby in Southeast Asia and Admiral Stansfield Turner and his network of covert warriors, including Theodore Shackley, and his close associate, General Richard Secord, who became one of Kissinger's most loyal paid operatives. Now, Kissinger worked through the whole Southeast Asian war with these very people who were into opium traffic, narcotics, and creating huge masses of money that went into the Nguyen Bank. And Bernie Houghton of Nguyen went to Saudi Arabia. And Secord is one of the persons that insisted on Reagan sending AWACS to Saudi Arabia. You think of Henry Kissinger as being that little Jew that Kramer talks about. But Kissinger was close to the very people arming Saudi Arabia, sending weapons there, arming Khomeini, and a very important person in the policies of Central America and the Middle East and Southeast Asia and South Africa. He's the kingpin, and behind him, of course, is Mr. Kramer, Fritz Kramer, And next to him now is his son, Sven Kramer, in the National Security Council. So this one article about private financing of the pocket in the National Security goes down to Secord and Kissinger and their network of private agents, which brings you to Secord, Hakim, and von Bolschwing, and back to the Waffen-SS and the Galen operation. That's why Kramer, Graham, Kissinger, Secord, and these people are so terribly important to what is happening to the world and what has happened to this country. And I'll be doing a lot of that subject continuously in 1987. Well, I have about 30 more articles I thought I could run through quickly, even the titles, but the time is out, so I can't. We have to wind up the year with starting next week, and that's the way it goes and flows. The news just keeps going on, and what we don't get on in 1 hour, we bring it up later, sooner or later. And the items that I share with you on World Watchers have connections to each other. They're not separate. They're agents and persons that affect each other and make the news, make the lies in the news, make the books that expose the lies, make the investigating committees that expose the liars. So we have an interesting year. Certainly, I never thought that Ronald Reagan would slide so quickly down a greased pole. I know he's done a lot of bad things, but I never in my life imagined how quickly this whole thing could fall apart in the way it's falling apart. So it'll be an interesting year. Again, have a good year, and I'll be back with you next week to continue where we left off on some of these horrible stories. Bye-bye. I'll say goodbye. And this is Mae Brussel to share some more from World Watchers with you, I hope, for quite a few years.